Welcome back, everyone, to Box Box, and finally, it's race week again. We are heading to Spa, and we are excited. Spa generally provides a very exciting weekend, but before we move on with the show, please make sure you give us a follow on social media. We do post daily, more, like twice daily.
Why are you laughing? Because I'm having a mare. I've currently got my light has fallen down. I've got it's flickering. This, lads, is going very well. So I'm just going to pop that down. I'm going to let Luke continue. Apologies for the interference. I apologise.
I know that it's all good. At least it's not dark. If it was dark, Matt would just be sitting in pitch black right now. So I think you've got a window in front of you, have you not?
I've got a window in front of me, yeah.
I tell you what, I often talk about this podcast as the most cursed podcast out there. I'm sure that a higher power is trying to stop us from putting content out, and probably for good reason. I'm sure you TikTok commenters will agree.
There's people at home going now, yeah, maybe you guys should stop doing it. But we're not.
You should have listened to us.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you do want to continue to stay involved with BoxBox Podcast, please do follow us on social media. Just search BoxBox into Instagram and TikTok. They're going to be the best places to be. Obviously, don't mistake us with BoxBox Club, but you should also give them a follow because we are powered by them, and they have an exclusive offer that we can offer you. You can get 30% off an Ultra subscription by using code BoxBoxPod. I actually looked it up. I've been saying BoxBoxPod 30, but it's not. It's BoxBoxPod. It gets you 30% off an Ultra subscription. The app is free. I should add, you can just go and download it and use all the free features. It is still absolutely quality. So if you're a big F1 fan, do make sure you check that out. It's available on the Apple Store and the Android Store. But yeah, wherever you're listening to us, do give us a 5-star rating. If you're watching on YouTube, when you get to the end of this video, give it a thumbs up. If you agree or disagree with anything we say, comment down below. And if you're new here, subscribe. Let's crack on.
All right, guys. So, firstly, you know, there's not much F1 news. There's not much that has happened this week. But I want to touch back to last week's podcast because, Luke, we discussed, you know, we're halfway through the season. Who is our, you know, title? You know, who do we think is going to go on and win the title between Oscar and Lando? And you said a very good point that, you know, Oscar is more cooler-headed. He's more calmer in situations. And actually, surprisingly, on TikTok, there was a lot of comments going, actually, you're wrong, because how can you say that when in Silverstone, he brake-checked Max Verstappen? Well, I don't personally think he brake-checked Max Verstappen. I just think, you know. Do you think that incident in Silverstone, where he got a 10-second penalty, shows that maybe Oscar isn't as cool-headed as we think?
No, that's like, okay, that is the equivalent of saying that Max Verstappen can't keep the car on track because he spun at Silverstone. That's like saying Lando can't drive in the wet because of Sochi 2021. You know, that's like saying Lewis Hamilton can't race wheel to wheel because of Barcelona 2016. It's a single incident, and we have to look at this, you know, generally. Oscar has a very cool head. Firstly, he did not brake check Max Verstappen. That's terrible analysis. Whoever is spreading a nasty rumor like that, it's just not true. Like, I mean, I think Oscar was playing dirty tactics. Don't get me wrong. I don't think it was to have Max Verstappen run into the back of him. How the hell is that going to benefit Oscar? He's literally leading the Silverstone Grand Prix. And at that point, I know it was under safety car, but he had shown that he could lead it quite comfortably. Once they got restarted, he was going to go ahead and take the lead, you know, and build a gap. I think it was just a mistake, a lapse in judgment. I don't think he was trying to cause any harm. He was just, you know, he hit the brakes a little bit too hard, and ultimately it did have a knock-on effect to the back of the pack. And whether you think it was harsh or not, the penalty, it doesn't matter. He received a 10-second penalty. It lost him the race win. And he's the one that's had to pay the price for it. But I think to use that as an example to say, well, clearly he's not cool-headed, it's just bad. Because if he was doing that every single race, right, obviously, you'd say, yeah, okay, maybe he's actually got a problem. Like, why is he doing this? Like, is he doing this out of rage? Has he not got a cool head? But it's one incident. Like, I just don't understand it. Like, if you're walking down the street and you trip up one day, does that just mean you can't walk all of a sudden? Like, if people start saying, oh, he's the one that can't walk. What, because I tripped over once? Do you know what I mean? It's one of those things where you get nicknamed something at school because something happens once.
What an analogy. No, I agree. I think, you know, when you look at Oscar Piastri throughout this whole season so far, he has been very composed, very mature in his performances. And look, that Silverstone incident, he will learn a lot from that. And I think at the time he was very adamant that he did nothing wrong. I don't think that shows whether he's lost his head or whatever. I think that's just something, one-off incident. Obviously, if we go into Belgium and he continues that type of streak, then we'll start questioning that. But for me, I stand by what I said last week. Oscar Piastri, and actually, I've said it since when he even came into the sport, and I even said it at the beginning of this season. My favourite is still Oscar Piastri. I see, I just look at him and I think he's the ultimate package when it comes to who is going to go on and win the title this year. So do let us know at home. What is your thoughts? Is that incident in Silverstone, has that changed your opinion of Oscar? Do let us know. Do drop a comment if you're watching on YouTube. Right, I've got a little quiz for you, Luke. And you can play at home. Oh. You can let us know how you get. So,
well, I tell you what, I love a quiz because we get called Drive to Survive fans a lot. That's fine. It doesn't really bother me. And if you are a Drive to Survive fan and you're new to F1, welcome. This is a space for everyone, especially here at Boxbox Pod. But I do pretty well at these quizzes, generally. Yep. So I'm pumped for this.
Okay, so I want to test your knowledge with regards to the constructor standings last year compared to this year, okay? So after 12 rounds, I want you to guess where the constructors were this time last year and where they are now. So we'll look at currently, and we'll go from 10th to 1st, and we'll start off with Alpine, who are currently 10th in the Constructors with 19 points. But who was 10th this time last year?
Oh, crap, that's a good question. See, I was anticipating them. Where were Alpine last year? But no, this is fine. Who was 10th last year? I'm going to have to say Sauber.
Yep, spot on. Spot on. Right, P9 this year currently is Haas with 29 points. Who was P9 this time last year in the Constructors? I'll give you a clue. I'll give you a clue. They had 4 points.
I think it might actually be Haas. My other guess would be Williams, but I'm going to say Haas.
Okay, you should have gone with your other guess because it was Williams.
Did I say Haas? I meant Williams.
Yeah. Well done.
It's crazy that Haas came out of my mouth.
Right, P8 this year is Aston Martin with 36 points. Who was P8 last year? They had 9 points.
I think this has got to be Haas.
No, Alpine.
Wow, see, in my head, Alpine was sixth.
Yeah. Interestingly, there is only one team in this, you know, compared to last year to this year, that hasn't moved. So P7 is currently RB with 36 points this year. Who was P7 last year?
Oh my God. It might actually have been RB.
No, it was Haas, 27 points. I swear he's like, this actually shows me how good my F1 knowledge is. It's not great, Luke. So P6 is currently Stake with 41 points. Who was P6 last year?
Haas.
RB. Because Haas, I don't know if you just listened, but Haas has already gone.
I meant RB.
I can't wait to go to P2. Haas. No, Luke. No. Right. P5 currently this year is Williams with 59 points. Who was P5 last year?
Aston Martin.
Spot on. Well done, Luke. Well done. P4 this year is Red Bull with 172 points. Who was P4 last year?
Probably Mercedes.
Mercedes. Well done. Two for two. Mercedes are P3 this year. Who was P3 this time last year?
This is tricky. I'm going to say Red Bull.
No, McLaren.
Wow.
Yeah.
Were they?
Yeah.
Can I just say, right? This will segue nicely into a topic that we're going to talk about later. People are saying the season is over already. I don't wholly believe that to be true because anything can change at any point.
Yeah.
And it's going to bring us onto a topic about, you would have heard about the Ferrari testing that took place at Mugello. And I just want people to not write this season off at this point because, look, McLaren were third last year and went on to win fairly comfortably in the end the Constructors' Championship. Granted, they didn't win the World Championship, but it just goes to show that anything can happen.
I don't want to rain on your parade, okay, with what you're saying, but I would pretty comfortably put my house on that this season is over, and I will tell you why in a second. Okay, let's just finish off this, but I will tell you. Okay, so P2 this year is currently Ferrari with 222 points. Who was P2 last year?
Ferrari.
Spot on. And obviously McLaren this year is P1 with 460 points. Who was P1 last year?
Okay, so how many points was third place on last year?
So I'll go through this. So obviously Red Bull were this time last year. So this is what I want to say. This is why I think the season is over, okay? So Ferrari this year on 222 points, McLaren on 460. So what's that? 200 and just under 240 points, 238 points. Yeah. So Red Bull last year at this point had 373 points. Okay, McLaren, who were in P3, had 295. The difference from last year to this year is considerable.
Yeah, no, there's no denying that. There is no denying that. I can't argue that point because factually it's hard to argue against. But I just think it does go to show that things can change. I wish we had 2009 in front of us. Now, I know that, you know, Jenson Button went on to win the World Championship and everything, but that got very close towards the end. Yeah. Like, closer than, you know, he would have liked. I just think that we've got a lot more races now. You know, there's 24 races this season. We've still got a long way to go. I can't tell you exactly how many races we've had. I think it's about 11.
Mate, we started off by saying we're halfway through the season. So how many races do you think we've had?
Well, 11 or 12. But I mean, are we exactly halfway through the season? One race is a big difference. That's 25 points, potentially, to your rival.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I agree.
I'm just saying, look, if McLaren can build up a lead of whatever points in half a season, why can't it be overturned in the second half of a season?
No, I agree. Okay, so for you guys who are listening, I have to apologise because I think Luke is kind of losing it today. I don't know what's going on with him, but we are when we're talking about halfway through the season, we are 12. We've already done 12 races. Silverstone was 12 races. 13th race is in Spa, so we are halfway through the season. Look, McLaren.
But that's what I said. I didn't say we were. I just said 11 or 12 races in. Yeah. I didn't know if Spa was the 12th race or if Silverstone was like the halfway.
This
is the start of the second half. So this, you've got exactly as many races now as we have had already.
Yeah. I cannot see McLaren losing the constructors. And I get what you're saying with regards to we can't rule off. But the gap between Ferrari and McLaren at this moment in time is so... It is massive. Okay, it is humongous. And there is no way that I can see Ferrari or Mercedes or Red Bull catching that McLaren, because that McLaren is a different gravy.
Look, I'm not going to sit here and pretend to believe that McLaren are going to go on and be caught by anyone. I'm just saying, as we reach the halfway point of the season, don't lose hope, because there was very positive news that came out of Mugello, and I think even if you're not a Ferrari fan, all we really want is there to be... Look, it's great that we've actually finally got two potential world champions going at each other, right? Even if they're from the same team, that's fine. But we've always said here on this podcast, the more the merrier. So if you can throw a Ferrari into the mix and be like, well, actually, the season isn't over, I think that's something to be excited about as F1 fans. Now, if you don't know about this test at Mugello, look, I'm not going to sit here and claim to be some sort of F1 specialist, understands all of the nitty-gritty of the aero and suspensions and fucking push pull rods and whatever. I don't, but I have some information in front of me. So the layout has changed of Ferrari's rear suspension. Apparently this was leading the team to have to run the car a little bit higher because it couldn't ride over the bumps very well. It also created a, you know, quite a bit of instability. We saw that in particular at Silverstone, the rear instability, where Lewis Hamilton was said, you know, the car was on a knife edge. Yeah, every time he turned into a corner, it felt like the back end was going to go. And you could kind of see that when, you know, when he was going around. So apparently the rumours coming out are that the car was able to run lower. It was running a lot more stable. And that this was actually solving one of Ferrari's key issues with their car. Now, the not so positive news that's come out is apparently it's only gained them a tenth of a second. Now, this is a big upgrade. This is the upgrade that Ferrari have been waiting on. And if it has only gained them a tenth, it's probably not something to shout about. But what I would say is that if you look how close qualifying has been in, well, I mean, to be fair, for a lot of this generation of ground effect, the cars have been very close in quali, but particularly I think coming into this season we've seen how close the cars have been when it comes to that Q3 session in particular. It's crazy the margins that split, you know, fifth place from first place. A tenth is genuinely the difference between starting P6 and P1 at this point in time.
Yeah, it's been very close this year. I think qualifying, this is the closest we've seen in qualifying for a long time. And yeah, the difference between P1 and P6 is marginal. But I think if Ferrari are coming out and stating this is their big upgrade, and don't get me wrong, okay, Luke and I, initially when we started this podcast, used to get very excited about upgrades when Mercedes used to say they're coming out with upgrades. Over time, I've become less, hopeful on these upgrades, but Luke still likes it when he reads up saying, you know, Ferrari are bringing an upgrade or Mercedes are bringing an upgrade. Luke gets excited about it.
Okay, can I just say, this is based on historical copium that I used to require. As we, you know, ventured out of the 2021 season into this new era of ground effect cars, and Lewis Hamilton was given the stinker of all stinkers to drive around a track every week. And I used to deep dive Reddit and find someone who knows Toto Wolff's pet fucking goldfish's granddad's uncle's son, who said that Mercedes have an upgrade coming this weekend. It's bringing them like 0.3. And yeah, I used to believe it because I needed something to get me through that weekend. But this is like, this is a factual thing that has been documented online. We know that Ferrari were doing this new suspension test. They did the test at Mugello. There's pictures of the cars going around. Lewis, Charles and Giovinazzi drove the car. However, what isn't probably factual at this point is the results. We won't see that until we get to Spa. So I'm just saying it's something to watch out for. And we know, we spoke last week, Ferrari are the only team at this point who still have a significant upgrade package to bring. Now, this is apparently meant to partner the upgraded floor that they brought a few races back. if it does make a difference, then the season could be completely flipped on its head, because at this point, no other team is going to have an answer to such a significant upgrade package, because they've all started moving on to the 2026 car.
Yeah.
So I think it's just something that we should watch out for. And if you are a Ferrari fan, or you just want to see more competition at the front, we might have that coming into this week.
Look, heading into the second part of the season, as I said earlier on, I do not expect much to change within the constructors. And I think the Ferrari will be fighting for that P2 like they seem to do most years. For me, as a Ferrari fan and a Lewis fan, a P2 isn't something I'm going to get massively excited about. But if these upgrades actually come in and they make a difference to the performances, and we start seeing some Ferrari wins, and we start seeing Ferrari back on the podium, then by all means, yeah, I'll be happy with that. And I'd say that's actually probably a successful second half of the season. But what I don't want to do is I don't want that to hinder their 2006 project, because I do believe McLaren will win the Constructors. I do believe it will be one of the McLarens who will win the championship, Drivers' Championship. So there's not really much for Ferrari to play for, apart from some pride and actually getting some performances and showing a bit of hope to the Ferrari fans. So my hope is actually they don't focus so much on the rest of this season and they do actually get 2026 right, because I really want to start seeing a competitive season again next year with Ferrari being at the front of that. So yeah, not trying to be negative about it. I hope that actually these upgrades do work, but I'm not as hopeful it will make a massive difference to the constructor side of it, because I think realistically, Ferrari, Mercedes, Red Bull are fighting for that P2.
Interesting that you mentioned the 2026 season.
Yep.
Have you seen the news about the cars no longer being ground effect?
No.
Do you live under a rock?
This week I probably have, to be fair, yeah. Which is actually quite funny, actually. For the people who have, you know, the OGs who have listened to this podcast for a while, you can vouch for me here and do drop a comment. Who is the one who normally brings the research, the questions, basically everything? It's this guy.
Yeah. Exactly.
Not Luke. Not Luke. It is me. So the one time Luke actually does some research, round of applause, mate.
Well, we all know that this era of cars have depended on the floor. That is essentially where 90% of the performance of these cars have come from. Okay, yep. That's why everyone was so excited to look underneath that Red Bull when it got lifted up in Monaco a few seasons back. But we were under the impression that moving into 2026, we were going to continue with this ground effect era. Now, I'm sure the teams were made aware of this well before us, but it has come out this week that the cars are no longer going to be ground effect, which means, this means Venturi tunnels are banned, right? So all those little tunnels that you see running under the cars, they are no longer allowed. Now, I'm not going to claim to know what this means beyond that, other than flat floors are returning, similar to what we had from 2017 to 2021. We know who dominated that era, I'm just saying. It means we're probably, you know, are we going to see barge boards return? You know, do you remember how complicated they used to look on the cars? Because now they're going to have to try and find additional performance from elsewhere, right? But it got me thinking, and it goes back to the point I just made. One man dominated that era of cars, and it's always been said that Lewis Hamilton hasn't lost it. He is still Lewis Hamilton. Sir Lewis Hamilton, might I add. Now that we're seeing the end of the ground effect era, do we expect to see the return of Lewis Hamilton?
I really hope so. I think this is a very good question, and I think this is something which, for us as Lewis fans, we've always, you know, we've said on this podcast, we don't think he's lost it. We've seen glimpses of, you know, the class still which Lewis Hamilton has. We saw that in Mercedes last year with a couple of wins. We saw that for China this year in Ferrari. I still personally think he has it, but the biggest question is heading into 2026. This era of car has not done Lewis any favors in the slightest. It just hasn't worked for Lewis. I am hopeful that with this new era of car, we will see the return of Lewis Hamilton.
Yeah. And look, I have said for a long time, you don't just lose it. You certainly don't just lose it overnight. And a lot, some people might point to Sebastian Vettel, right? You know, he came off the back of four incredible world championships, with 2013 being particularly dominant, to then being beaten by Daniel Ricciardo. Not a rookie, but you could, you know, consider him very, very new to the sport. It was his first season in Red Bull. Now, is there an argument to say, well, maybe actually Sebastian Vettel just couldn't grasp the turbo hybrid era? Because, you know, it kind of happened for him at Ferrari. I know we can use that, but it also kind of didn't. You know, he never won a world championship. And then, you know, Charles Leclerc came in the team and it sort of started going wrong for him. Is it just the same for Lewis Hamilton? Is it just that, you know, he hasn't quite got that connection with this type of car? He said that he struggled with the cars, and I'm hoping that what we see in a reversal to, you know, sort of flat floors, is that we see Lewis Hamilton come back to the forefront of the sport. That is all I want to see.
Well, I think it's interesting, isn't it? Because you see a lot of comments that, you know, Lewis has passed it, he's lost it. But I think one thing we have to remember is, you know, this new era of cars came into, what, in what, 2022? You look back at 2021, Lewis Hamilton had one of his most competitive seasons in his career. He went head-to-head with Max Verstappen and he took it down to the wire in the final race of the season. And he showed some quality performances. You look back at Brazil. He came back from the back of the grid, went on to win the race. He was pretty dominant in that 21 season. You know, yes, okay, he didn't go on to win the title, although we'll move on from that.
He did.
But to all of a sudden go into 2022 and people go, you know, he's struggling. He's obviously lost it. You don't just lose it like that. And there is a real argument that actually the reason why he is struggling so much is because of this era of car. He just cannot deal with it. But I think the main thing for Lewis Hamilton heading into 2026 is if he starts the season poorly, then there is that question mark that actually Lewis has lost it.
Yeah, look, there's always going to be questions around a great like Lewis Hamilton when they don't perform, when they don't show up for a season or two. And look, 2022 was a rough season, right? The car was bad. It was off the back of 2021. But like you say, you don't lose it overnight. 2023 came P3 in the championship. 2024, again, the car didn't really have it. And granted, it was probably one of his poorer seasons.
Well, he won two races. I mean, I'm not being funny. 2023, he finished P3, but he didn't win any races. And I know you can argue the case that Max Verstappen was in that rocket ship. But, you know, Lewis started the season in 2024 basically saying he is leaving Mercedes. He is going to go to Ferrari. And then you've got to do a whole season with a team who kind of will shut you out halfway through because they don't want you to see the development for 2025. So last season is a bit of a write-off in some sense, but he had a couple of wins. You know, he won in Silverstone, he won in Spa. Although I'm a Lewis Hamilton fan, and I'm not saying, you know, I'm not delusional, although I did think he would win in Silverstone. I don't think he's lost it. And I think the real question mark will be in 2026 with this new era.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And like I said, that was the news out this week. I think there's a lot of interesting things we can take from it, and it does change things like quite dramatically, because all of a sudden now you're thinking, okay, well, you know, let's look at the teams actually who did dominate in that era, who performed well, because it's a complete shift. I'll tell you one thing, I bet fucking Aston Martin are kicking themselves. They've just paid, you know, £30 million a year to the grandfather of ground effect cars, and they're no longer ground effect.
So I wonder if I can get a refund.
That was a good investment.
I wonder if I can get a refund.
Yeah, they'll take the receipt to Red Bull, won't they?
But I think when you look at, you know, this era from 2022 to now, when you look at the teams who have dominated, you know, it's been a Max Verstappen era for sure. It's been a Red Bull era for sure. McLaren as well. You know, you've now seen McLaren back at the front, and this is something you haven't seen for a long time. So I think they're the ones who have really benefited from this. But heading into, you know, 2026, there's a lot of speculation that Mercedes are the ones who are so far ahead. You know, what does this mean for Williams as well, being a Mercedes engine? I'm really excited for next year. I'm really excited to see. I think we're going to be very surprised by the teams who are going to be up there. I really do.
I really hope it. We say this every time new regulations come, but I hope it equalizes the field a little bit. Look, whether you've enjoyed this era, you haven't enjoyed this era, what we can say is, number one, they have produced arguably some of the best looking F1 cars ever. Number two, however, they have failed again in getting closer racing. Now, what I would say is they definitely made qualifying a hell of a lot closer, you know, because qualifying sessions, as I say, particularly this season, but even last season, have been insane. That is something that we didn't have in the last era. But it has failed on the racing front again, so I really hope we can push to get closer racing. And look, the cars are being made smaller. I still think they need to be made smaller still. There's active aero, so it's going to be a really interesting time for F1.
Yeah.
Moving into next year, and like you say, it's going to be really interesting to see actually what it does to teams at the back of the pack that maybe are going to benefit off what is rumored to be a very, very good Mercedes engine.
Yeah, no, I'm buzzing for it. Just talking of Lewis Hamilton, so Günther Steiner has been speaking about Lewis, and he said, "I think in Formula One, the only one above a team is Lewis Hamilton. His presence, his stature is also huge outside of the sport. There are two huge brands together now in Ferrari and Lewis Hamilton. It's almost a conflict. Who is bigger, Ferrari or Lewis?" And we did a clip last year, I think it was, that actually Lewis Hamilton was bigger than Mercedes. And you can go onto our TikTok or Insta and you can find that clip. And it got a lot of people talking. You know, a lot of people said I was talking rubbish. No one's bigger than an F1 team. There is only one character inside F1 that is bigger than F1. And I still truly believe this. And that is Lewis Hamilton. Lewis Hamilton going to Ferrari, I still believe Lewis Hamilton is bigger than Ferrari. And
I would agree. Like, the thing is Lewis has done what no one has ever done, and he's not just big in F1. He's not just big amongst racing fans. He is a global superstar. And look, to a lot of people, you're not going to give a shit about that, and that is completely fine. But when people make the point that Lewis Hamilton is bigger than F1, you can't argue with it just because you're an F1 purist, or, you know, you believe that it's team over everything or whatever. Great. If you believe that, fine. But you're just fighting the facts. And the fact of the matter is that Lewis Hamilton is bigger than the sport. He is bigger than Ferrari. He's the biggest person to ever come out of F1. So there's no point trying to fight it. That's the exact reason Ferrari signed him. That, and along with the fact that he's got 7 world championships to his name, it's because Lewis Hamilton is bigger than the sport. You know, that's a factor. That's why it would have been so painful for Mercedes to lose him in that fashion. It just is what it is, and you have to accept it.
Yeah, I agree. But you look at all the Mercedes fans who were Lewis fans, you know, left, went over. I just think what Lewis Hamilton has done for the sport, and look, I'm not just saying this because I am a Lewis fan. I'm saying this because it's facts. Lewis Hamilton has done a lot for the sport. I don't really remember another driver who has had a massive impact on the sport as much as Lewis Hamilton. I know you could even say someone like Senna has in the past, you know, what he's done for the sport. But
I don't think anyone has done it to the extent that Lewis has done it. It's incomparable to anyone. And like I say, don't just think like a racing purist. I get it. So many of you are going to argue like, well, Senna was bigger, or like Schumacher. In racing world, perhaps they are more respected. I don't know. But they're not as big as Lewis Hamilton. That is just a fact. And so, you know, when Günther Steiner comes out and says this, it doesn't surprise me. He's not speaking from a point of bias. You know, it doesn't do anything for anyone. Oh, Lewis is bigger than the sport or whatever. Great. But like, so many people like to hate on him for that. And it's like, well, it just kind of is what it is.
Yeah, I agree. Do let us know. So, as we know, we will get on to Spa in 1 second.
I have 10 minutes.
Okay. Answer me this one quickly then.
Okay.
As we know, 2025, Mercedes still don't have a driver for 2026. The contracts haven't been agreed for Kimi and George. There's a lot of speculation that Max Verstappen will be joining Mercedes in 2026. The question I have for you, Luke, and you guys at home, who would Max Verstappen replace if he joined Mercedes?
I've answered this 100 times. He's replacing Kimi Antonelli. Look, Toto Wolff is not a stupid man, regardless of what you think about him. He's not an idiot. No one in their right mind is getting rid of George Russell at this point in time. Said this before, if you had one driver, you would of course replace George Russell with Max Verstappen. Obviously. However, you have two. So therefore, you are going to replace Kimi Antonelli with Max Verstappen and create an absolute powerhouse team in George Russell and Max Verstappen.
But is it a risk, though, having George Russell and Max Verstappen, who evidently don't like each other, on the same team?
Well,
You've seen it in the past with drivers. You remember Senna, Alain Prost, they never liked each other. You've had drivers who don't like each other, and it just hasn't worked.
You have to have two good drivers if you want to be serious, okay? Unless Mercedes are so confident that they'll be able to dominate, then maybe, okay, from a team's perspective, it might make sense to keep Kimi because he'll pick up the P2s. But at this point in time, Kimi hasn't shown enough to prove to Mercedes, I don't think, that he is going to be able to carry them. Let's say like Red Bull this season, right? Let's say Mercedes have that sort of scenario next year. Max Verstappen will be able to carry a car to wins.
Yeah.
Kimi Antonelli has not shown that yet. And he's so young, right? And I hope Kimi has the best future. But at this point in time, he's not showing it. So why take the risk? You've got George Russell. Just stick with him.
Yeah, fair. Right, because Luke's got to go, let's quickly do Belgium. So we're back. I was there last year and I really wish I was going again because it is such a good circuit. But let me tell you about Belgium. You can check it out on the BoxBox apps. It is incredible. Go and check it out now. So 7 kilometres long. 44 laps, 19 turns, top speed of 308 kilometers per hour, elevation of 102.10 meters. It's a sprint weekend as well, which is great. So FP1 is on Friday the 25th, 11:30 till 12:30. Sprint qualifying on Friday is 3:30 till 4:15 or 4:14, sorry. The sprint on Saturday is 11 till 12, and then qualifying is 3 till 4, and the race on Sunday is 2 till 4. Circuit stats, right. Luke, quick question.
Wait, have you told everyone that we're actually go-karting during the race?
Well, I haven't, no. This is really poor organisation. And I'm pretty gutted about it, to be honest. What time is go-karting?
But we're going to watch it. We're racing, I think, at 1:30.
Okay. And how long's the race?
Well, we've got like a qualifying session, then a race. So,
good.
No, we're going to miss some of it, but we're obviously going to watch it all before we report back to you. We just won't be able to watch it live.
There we go. Right. Quick question, Luke. The most successful constructor at Belgium? With 14 wins.
Ferrari.
Ferrari. Most successful driver with 6 wins.
Lewis.
Michael Schumacher.
Wow.
When was the track opened?
Oh, wait, I should have known that. 14 Ferrari wins. Obviously, Michael Schumacher is going to be a boatload of those.
Yep. When was it first opened?
Like 54 or something.
1921. But when was the first Grand Prix held there?
Oh, sorry, that's what... 1954. 1950. Oh, close. Oh, it's literally been there from the start.
Yep. Race lap record and held by who?
I mean, again, Lewis is always an easy answer.
Nope. Valtteri Bottas. Lap record.
Spa. Oh, it's quite a long one. Like a 143, maybe.
A 146.2.
Ah, hey, I was pretty close.
You were. The question is, who is your top three for the Belgium Grand Prix?
Well, look, if these Ferrari upgrades come in clutch.
Yeah.
Nah, I'm not going to... I do think there's something in these Ferrari upgrades, but I'm going to say... I'm going to say this has Lando written over it.
Okay.
I'm going to say Lando, Oscar, Charles.
Okay. It's interesting because Belgium is a funny one because when you look back at last year, you know, McLarens were at this point were becoming quite dominant, but they really struggled last year. Mercedes looked good. They actually did very well there last year. They obviously won it. Ferraris even looked good. Charles Leclerc was a P3, I think. I am going to go for Oscar Piastri, P1. George Russell, P2. Lewis Hamilton, P3.
Wow. The thing is I do feel like you can almost at this point guarantee that a McLaren is going to win. Mm-hmm. But it does become pretty unpredictable moving back from there. You know, I listen to that and I think, yeah, not bad. Entirely possible. You know, you could... throw Max Verstappen in there, that's entirely possible as well. You could put Max for P1. I wouldn't be like, that's unrealistic because it you know, like I say, it's probably going to be a McLaren, but why couldn't it be Max?
Well, we've obviously got, you know, Belgium and then we got the Hungarian Grand Prix before the summer break, so I really would love to see a Lewis Hamilton podium before the summer break, which would be nice. But yeah, do let us know who your top three is for the Belgium Grand Prix. That is the end of the podcast. I hope you've enjoyed it. Do drop a comment if you're watching on YouTube. Do drop a comment on all the things we've discussed today. If you're listening to us on Spotify, leave us a 5-star rating. We really appreciate it. But you can also check us out on all social media, TikTok, Instagram. That's where we post daily. But yeah, it'd be great to get some racing back next week. It's been a long couple of weeks so far. But yeah, have a good week and we shall see you next week for a brand new episode. Bye-bye.